الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المصطفى صلى الله تبارك وتعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحج أشهر معلومات فمن فرض فيهن الحج فلا رفث ولا فسوق ولا جدال في الحج وما تفعلوا من خير يعلمه الله وتزودوا فإن خير الزاد التقوى واتقون يا أولي الألباب وقال تعالى ولله على الناس حج البيت من استطاع إليه سبيلا ومن كفر فإن الله غني عن العالمين وعن أبي هريرة رضي الله تعالى عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم من حج لله فلم يرفث ولم يفسق رجع كيوم ولدته أمه وقال عليه الصلاة والسلام الحج المبرور ليس له جزاء إلا الجنة آمنت بالله صدق الله مولانا العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين Respected and honorable ulama ikram, elders and brothers, young friends in Islam, ladies who may be listening over the receivers, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has made certain periods of time during the year more auspicious, more virtuous than others. And if you have to analyze the Islamic calendar, then this entire period of time from the month of Rajab right until Muharram is a very auspicious period of time. Of course, it peaks during the month of Ramadan, and immediately after the month of Ramadan, once the moon of Eid is sighted, which was last month on the 14th of June, when the moon of Eid was sighted, immediately the months of Hajj commenced, which is again one of the salient features of Islam, one of the pillars upon which Islam is based. Bunya al-Islamu ala al-Khams. Islam is based on five pillars. It is based on the Shahada, that we proclaim that there is none worthy of worship but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the last and final messenger of Allah. Islam is based on this. Islam is based on salah, that we pray five times a day. Islam is based on fasting during the month of Ramadan. Islam is based on giving zakat, and Islam is based on Hajj, the pilgrimage to Mecca for those who are able to afford it. To such an extent that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam has mentioned in the hadith that whoever has the means to go for Hajj, but he doesn't during his lifetime, then it doesn't matter to me that that person die as a Jew or a Christian. In other words, such harsh and stern warnings for the person who does not embark upon the journey of Hajj, despite having the means to go for Hajj, to observe the annual pilgrimage for Hajj. And this annual pilgrimage, it is obligatory upon a person who can afford to go there, who is not plagued by any type of sickness, he is not stopped by any government to visit. Upon him, and he has the means to go, it is obligatory for him to go for Hajj and to observe the annual pilgrimage. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, on one occasion, he was addressing the Sahaba, explaining to them the farziyat and the fact that Hajj is obligatory upon the Sahaba. One Sahabi, Hazrat Aqra ibn Habis radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he got up and he asked, "Ya Rasulullah, is it only this once in a lifetime or forever?" So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam remained silent according to some narrations. And he asked again, he remained silent, and he asked again. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to him that it is once in a lifetime. And had I said that you are asking continuously, had I said that it was obligatory every year, then it would have become obligatory every year for you to go and you wouldn't have been able to do it. So it is obligatory upon us to observe the pilgrimage at least once in our lifetimes, for those who can afford it. And for those who can't afford it, then of course it is not obligatory, but there should be a deep-hearted desire to visit Makkah Mukarrama, Medina Munawwara, to observe the Hajj, purely because of the great amount of virtues that have been mentioned about Hajj. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, and in the hadith that was recited in the khutbah, he mentioned that a person who observes the Hajj, and in that Hajj he does not engage in any vice, any sin, فَلَمْ يَرْفُثْ وَلَمْ يَفْسُقْ, he doesn't engage in indecency, he doesn't engage in disobedience to the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, then رَجَعَكَ يَوْمٍ وَلَدَتْهُ أُمُّهُ, he returns like the day, when he returns from his Hajj and his journey, he returns like, so clean from sins, like the day on which Allah on the day on which his mother gave birth to him. Absolutely sinless and ma'soom. He starts a new page in his life. He is not the person that was the person who left when he went for Hajj. He is a different person now. His akhlaq is different. His character is different. His dealings with people are different now. People realize that this is a person who went for Hajj. Amongst us in a Jummah gathering, there may be people who are going to embark upon this journey of Hajj. Those who may not be going this year, but desire or will be going in years to come. And there may be those who have fulfilled this obligation already. But the advice is for all of us that the month of Ramadan that we witnessed, the objective and the purpose and the lectures that we heard, the programs that we attended, it was all about لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. It was all about obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It was all about abstention from the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then when it came to Hajj, immediately after the month of Ramadan, when the months of Hajj start, when the moon of Eid is sighted, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Al-Hajju ashhurun ma'lumat. And in that very verse also, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَتَزَوَّدُوا, take provisions when you go for Hajj, فَإِنَّ خَيْرَ الزَّادِ التَّقْوَى. The best provision that you can take for Hajj is taqwa, which is the obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Abstinence from the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And of course, those who would not be going on Hajj, then also the time of the year that we are experiencing is very, very auspicious. There are special types of ibadat that can only be done during this time of the year, and they cannot be done at any other time of the year. For example, in one hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Man ahya al-layali al-khams wajabat lahu al-jannah." A person who stays up in ibadat on 5 nights of the year, jannat becomes obligatory, compulsory for such a person. And 3 of those 5 nights are during these days and nights of Hajj. And that is not restricted to only those who are at Hajj. It is for all of us that virtue and the ability to acquire these rewards is for all of us. Laylati Tarwiyah, the night of the 8th of Zilhijjah. Laylati Arafah, the night of the 9th of Zilhijjah, Laylatul Nahr, the night of the 10th of Zilhijjah. And of course the other nights are Laylatul Fitr and Laylatul Nisf min Sha'ban, the night of Eid al-Fitr and the night of the 15th of Sha'ban. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that whoever engages in ibadat on these days and nights, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bless him with immense amount of reward to the extent that he will enter wajabat lahul jannah. Jannah becomes obligatory for such a person. Nevertheless, I thought that we should touch on a few aspects with regards to Hajj in today's Jumu'ah discussion. And amongst those aspects are, of course, what people do during the Hajj, the manasik, the different rituals that we observe, the different places that the Haji has to go to, the acts that he has to do during the Hajj. It is important for all of those who are going for Hajj, and even for others, to not just go for the journey cold, but to learn about what is required of us and how we should go about doing those actions, because it is a game changer. It is a journey which is a game changer. It changes a person's life. A sign of a person's accepted Hajj is that he is a changed person after that Hajj. Then that person does not lie, does not deceive. He does not be disobedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is a sign that a person's Hajj is accepted in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And therefore we should learn how to observe these acts of ibadat. Perhaps it is not even correct to call it rituals. Each of those acts that we do during the Hajj, it is an act of ibadat, and it should be observed like an act of ibadat. Just like how our salah is an act of ibadat and we worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala like that, Hajj is also an ibadat. It is not just a ritual. My ustad, Hazrat Maulana Mufti Muhammad Taqi Usmani Sahab, Damat Barakatuhum, he mentions, he said that Islam rasmi karwaiyo se balatar hai. Islam is a religion that is beyond just the fulfillment of some rituals or acts. In every act of ibadat that we have been ordained, that has been ordained upon us, there is a great amount of wisdom and depth and closeness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we have to achieve from every act of ibadat. From our salah, from our hajj, and every act of that hajj. From our tawaf, we have to get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. From the sa'i, we need to get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We need to beg and beseech Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Everything about hajj is dua. It is communication with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And therefore, respected brothers and sisters who are going to embark upon this great journey of Hajj, that should be our primary objective and intention, that we want to get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It should not be that we visited the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but that owner of that house has not come into our hearts. It should not be that we visited the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but the owner of the house, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, did not come into our house, into our hearts, because we did not care to find out how we should be fulfilling these acts of ibadat, these rituals, these different acts during the Hajj, and with what sort of mindset we should be fulfilling them. Acts of ibadat become void largely because the ulama mentioned, because of sins and vices that we commit during or after those acts of worship are completed. So in many instances, a person does, and taqwa is all about that. Taqwa is all about doing the things which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has asked us to do. And also, it is very much about abstaining from the things which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has asked us to abstain from. When we do embark upon the journey of Hajj, yes, we ask a lot of questions that Molana, should we do this? How should we do this? What time should we go there? How should we pelt the shaitans? What should be this? We should be asking all of those things. But together with that, we should also be cognizant of the fact that there are certain commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that are directed upon us, and they are directed upon what we should not be doing. And that is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala highlights in the Holy Quran when He said, Al-Hajju Ashhurum Ma'lumat, that Hajj is a known number of months, 2 months and 10 days, or more than that, slightly. 2 months and 10 days. فَمَنْ فَرَضَ فِيهِنَّ الْحَجِّ, and whoever intends to do Hajj during these months, فَلَا رَفَثْ وَلَا فُسُوقْ وَلَا جِدَالَ فِي الْحَجِّ. So he should not engage in any sort of indecency, any sort of disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and any sort of quarreling and grumbling and fighting with others. It is a journey of sabr and patience. It is a journey in which we need to exhibit exemplary character. And that is what the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam is all about. Exemplary character. It is a journey in which it does not behove us to become angry and to start using foul language. It is a journey in which we need to exhibit the highest form of respect of those places. Madine ki galiyon mein har ek qadam par ho madde nazar ihtiram Madina. In the streets of Medina, in the streets of Makkah, they should be 100% ihtiram and respect. The words that we utter from our tongues also should be full of... I heard one person in Medina saying, and I'm not looking down at that person, it's just the way we speak, but sometimes we have to be aware that it might not be the appropriate way to speak. That he was in Medina and asking another friend, when you chucking? When are you chucking? No one chucks from Medina. Not a Muslim, not a lover of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He has to leave Medina, not because he wants to. He has to leave Medina because he has to leave. Because he has no other option but to leave. But he leaves with a very heavy heart. So it is a journey on which we need to exhibit the highest levels of ihtiram, respect. We have to watch the actions that come out of our mouths. Our akhlaq has to be the akhlaq of Rasulullah, together with perhaps the greatest sunnah that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam left was the sunnah of his akhlaq and character. The sunnah of his akhlaq and character. Yes, it is important that we adhere to the outer appearance of Rasulullah sallallahu, that we perform our sunnah salahs and we perform all of those things, but together with all of that, perhaps the greatest sunnah that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam left for us was his akhlaq and character. How he interacted with people, how he interacted with family, how he spoke to people, how he handled situations. How Nabi alayhi salatu wasallam handled situations, and that is what we need to embark and say that this is something that we want to achieve from this journey of ours, which is the Hajj. Then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam has also mentioned in a hadith that al-hajjul mabrur, that an accepted hajj, a hajj which is pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is a hajj in which there is no disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is no indecency, there is no immorality, there is no fighting and quarreling. It is all about helping and assisting one another, feeding one another, reciting the labbaik in abundance. That is what the Hajj is all about. He said, لَيْسَ لَهُ جَزَاءٌ إِلَّا الْجَنَّةِ. Such a Hajj, if a person fulfills, then there can be no other reward for such a Hajj but Jannah, but paradise. Paradise is obligatory upon the Haji who fulfills his Hajj correctly. And the the mercies of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, especially on the day of Arafah, they know absolutely no bounds. They know absolutely no bounds, to the extent that it is mentioned in the hadith that they cannot be a greater wrongdoer than a person who feels that even on the day of Arafah, he is not forgiven. Can you imagine the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? That if a person feels that on the day of Arafah, I am not forgiven, then he is the greatest wrongdoer. The mercies of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala know absolutely no limits during this period of time. But it is important for us, as for those who are embarking upon this journey, as I mentioned, to learn the rules and regulations, but also to go with the right frame of mind, with the right intention, to exhibit the right adab and respect and ihtiram of that place. It does not behove a haji, for example, which has become a common practice nowadays, to embark upon photography in acts of worship. Here we have a person, he says, take my phone and take a photo of me, and he raises his hands like this facing the Kaaba, or sometimes he's back towards the Kaaba so that he can take this photograph and upload it to Facebook. These are acts of ibadat. These are acts of ibadat. And it is not correct for us to engage in this sort of photography in the haram. Sometimes we just want to update our statuses. Leave that. You want pictures of the haram, there's plenty of them available online. You don't have to take yourself in the background. It falls under perhaps a level of disrespect for that place. It falls under a level of disobedience of that place. So we should avoid those type of acts. Sometimes we are engaged in tawaf, and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, when he would engage in tawaf, he was deeply engrossed in the zikr, in singing the praises of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When we are engaged in photography, our mind is far away from ibadat, from the zikr of Allah subhanahu. We are more engaged in ourselves then, that I must get this selfie with myself in the background and post it, that just making tawaf right now, just completed my tawaf right now. This is part of working towards an accepted hajj. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, time has expired, but there is a number of things. My appeal to all of us who are going to be embarking upon this journey is, let us not go into this journey cold. Let us learn the fiqh of hajj, the jurisprudence of hajj, and also the spirituality with which we should be embarking upon this journey. It is not a person's money that takes a person. It is solely the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Our Shaykh Hazrat Mawlana Hakim Muhammad Akhtar Sahab, rahmatullah alayhi, used to say, he says that meri qismat kaha ye tawafe haram, main jaagta hu ya rab ya khwab dekhta hu. Meri qismat kaha ye tawafe haram, jis zameen pe chale the nabi ke qadam, main jaagta hu ya rab ya khwab dekhta hu. That it is the great, it is the fortunate who are able to go. From amongst the billions of Muslims, 2 or 3 million will be able to embark upon this journey. A tiny little percentage of the Muslim ummah. And we are from amongst them. What a great honor, what a great favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon us. And let us use that favor to the maximum, to make ourselves better human beings, better Muslims, to connect with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to connect with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And let us not waste the moments that we have there in futility. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq of amal. Wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alameen.